on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
We'd all like to commemorate at the Orient Hour the 2-year passing of Justin Edinburgh. Justin, you came to us at a time when we were at our lowest ebb and you made us dream again. Hopefully this year on the pitch, we'll be able to make some memories as you asked us to do. Rest in peace, Justin Edinburgh. You're sorely missed by all of us here. Good evening and welcome everybody to the Orient Hour. My name is Billy Herring and I'm going to be your host for this evening. And I'm joined by regular panellist Jamie Stripe. Jamie, how are you?
Very well, thanks Billy. Good evening everybody.
And Darren Burrows. Darren, how are you today?
All good, Billy. Good to be talking to you.
Fantastic. Now we start the show with some really sad news. The news that ex-Orient player Paul Linger has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Darren, can you talk to us a little bit about the GoFundMe page that's been set up for him, please?
Yeah, if people aren't already aware, the Orient Hour's own Lee Boyce brought this to our attention and set a GoFundMe page up. Which I think at last look, Billy, when I last looked, was about 3,500. Paul was a player for us that didn't make a huge amount of appearances, but, you know, as Lee rightly said, once an O, always an O. So Lee's got behind it, and I'm really pleased to see so many fans have as well, and most importantly, or as importantly, the club have as well. Paul's situation is very sad, everybody. I mean, Paul's going to be leaving a young son. Paul's wife, unfortunately, passed away of cancer. So this poor boy is going to be an orphan. And the fund is to try and raise some money so Paul and his son and his family can have some lasting memories to build. And I know seeing that I've seen Paul is internally grateful. He's so grateful for everything that everyone's done. So if you haven't given already, please do, because it will make a world of difference to Paul and his family. So, Billy, thanks for giving me the opportunity to say that, and let's all dig deep.
Thank you, Darren. Well said. As Darren says, it's a terrible situation, and hopefully we can make a difference to both Paul's life and his son's life as well in a terrible time. Okay, thank you for that, Darren. We at the Orient Hour would like to wish Dean Brill well in his new role as he departs the club to take on the role of the under-18s and under-23s goalkeeping coach over at Tottenham. So good luck to you, Brillo. Thank you for your contribution to the club that you made whilst you were with us, getting us promoted, keeping a record number of clean sheets in the season that we went up. You'll be forever an Orient legend in our eyes. And talking of Orient legends, we are lucky enough to be joined by an Orient legend tonight. So, our special guest who has joined us today for today's show, Jabbo Ibere. Welcome to the show, Jabbo.
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to a nice chat.
Jabbo, how are you then? I mean, you recently announced your retirement. What are you up to now? Are there any business ventures you want to promote or anything?
I'm always cool. I've done a few things, to be fair. Interesting things, and one is which we set up our own academy now, which we started doing sort of midway through my injury that eventually forced me to retire. But we've made it into a proper decent company now. We've had a few success stories, guys turning professional. One guy's now, it's amazing sometimes, you know, this is the kind of reward you get from doing these sort of ventures. And we had one player that was with us last season on the AstroTurf. We then put on showcase games to get them sort of accelerate their progression to be scouted and put into teams. He got scouted by Brentford last season. Now he's a Premiership player. You know, last year he was on the AstroTurf with us. This year he's in his dreams playing at the highest level. So that's amazing. And we had 11 guys turn professional last year. And now we're just going to do it bigger and better and set up different academies across London. We have one based in Uxbridge, going to get one in Essex and South London and go from there. So I've been putting some work into that. I passed a course I did through the PFA to be on the board membership of the PFA, the Players Committee. Then I've been doing some BBC punditry work, and I do recruitment at Brentford Football Club as well. So yeah, I've been busy.
Busy man.
Yeah. All good.
If anyone wants to get in contact with you in regards to the football recruitment and stuff, what do they? How do they do that, Jabbo?
We have a website. We're called Finishing Touch Football. So the website will go live end of the month. We also have an Instagram, Finishing Touch Football, and you can directly message me on Instagram personally, and I can liaise and get through to you. But I mean, we set a good standard. A lot of the boys that come along, you know, like last year, it was more ruthless. This time, we kind of keep the players together and just kind of tear them off in the levels of their ability. But, you know, we'll give you the professional. We will, like, sort of, you know, guide you, and you become a better player or a better human being from being with us, you know. But it's amazing, like, sort of the players that went on, and the texts that you got from them to say, you know, thank you so much. I've worked for you guys. I'm now signed for this team, that team. And those messages makes it all worth it. And you can give back through sort of like your own lenses of what you've done, you know? So it's been really good. Really enjoy it so far.
Oh, fantastic. That's really good to hear. Just out of interest, before we sort of move into your career, I wanted to ask you what it's like this time of the season for like players who are out of contract. Obviously, I know a lot of Orient fans will be sitting out there maybe worrying that we haven't made any signings yet, or worries that the players that we've offered contracts to maybe haven't signed those contracts yet. What's it like as a player? Do you leave it to the last minute to sign a deal? Do you go on holiday and forget all about it? Or how does it work?
Well, I think everyone's situation's different. And ultimately, like, when I first started playing, and I remember when I left one particular team, on your last year, especially if you're on a two-year contract, you notice that a player who's coming to his, running down his contract, the level of game seems to step up. So they know they're coming to the last year of the contract. I need to, if you're a striker, you're going to score as many goals as you can to attract potential suitors, but you hopefully have your own club that want to offer you something. But at the same time, you have like options from other suitors. You usually would know around the season ends in May, March, April, you have a rough idea of who's showing interest. Hopefully you have some interest, and there will be some conversations between your agent and the and respective clubs. So you kind of, okay, I might have that potentially, but I have a safety net from a contract from my club. So generally, if you're in that sort of situation, that's the ideal situation to be. Going into the summer, you can be a bit more relaxed. Now, if you haven't played much the previous on your last season, and your club ultimately ain't going to give you a contract, then depending how many games you've played previously in your career, it could be a worrying time, especially in the circumstances we're in now, where clubs are definitely, you know, restricting their budgets and not sort of bringing in the same number of players. So, I mean, ultimately, I never really worried personally. You know, I always kind of tried to maintain some sort of decent standard, and could have made enough noise to sort of like, you know, he's available, cool, you have some suitors. But, I mean, if you worry about things all the time, you never get anywhere. I think you've got to put your best foot forward, you know, stay positive, and I think you'll find something eventually. You know, you can't live in fear, worrying like, oh, I'm a footballer. If I don't get this, what am I going to do? You can't think like that. You'll never do anything. But I guess you just have to keep working hard in the off season, and when the opportunity comes, because these days, many players go in to be looked at now, whereas before they know you, we'll take you, we'll sign you. Now it's like, okay, don't know what he's been doing, let me bring him in for pre-season, let's have a look at him. And that's a situation that when I've been in dressing rooms, and I'm a bit of a I can't swear, but I'm a bit of a div when it comes to these situations, when players come in on trial, I will purposely, like, and after a while when I've been in dressing rooms, and you know, like, I know a winner in my dressing room, and there'll be a way he walks, the way the trainers is wearing, whether he's wearing an earring, maybe tattoos, I will make an assessment on them. And I won't like them, I won't speak to them specifically on purpose until I see what they're like in training. Now, if I don't feel that they're going to sort of like elevate my dressing room, elevate my team, I'll just be like, yeah, and carry on. I won't engage. Once I know you're here for the right reasons, suddenly I'll after that training session, I will speak. So going into a pre-season, into a dressing room, and you know you have to have a good sort of like 4 weeks of that pre-season, it's a tough gig, man. It really is. Because people don't really want to talk to you unless you're a player, you know? So, and I was one of those players that I wouldn't, if you ask me, oh, where's the toilets? And just keep going. I would not have time for it, but because I want to be around winners, I want to do well, I want to win. I don't want people that are just coming in just to, it's another step along their career. They're not really coming with the right vigor or the right attitude. So I would always save my judgment for what I see for them in training, but I would make an assessment on them straight away, maybe on clothes, the way they're talking. I'll be like, oh, you know, and I make it hard for them in a way I could. You know, I was a punk like that.
Jebbo, can I ask, what trainers then do I need to wear? And have I left it too late looking at the grey beard?
It's never too late. Just don't come in wearing some loud, high top trainers and you'll be all right. You know what I mean? Don't come in wearing something like that. Come in with like some athletic sports trainers or something like that, and I'll be like, cool, he's on stuff. I see you come with some Nike high tops in the gym. I'll switch off.
Definitely. Good to know.
So, Jabba, do you think then, a quick message for the fans, do we need to worry, or is it just, oh, this is all part of pre-season?
I think it's all part of pre-season for sure. And I think today the clubs are strong. You know, I don't think they need to. It's a club's market. It's not a player's market at the moment. You know, I think a lot more players will take and grab opportunities more so than ever. They're not going to be like, okay, yeah, I'll wait, nah, I'm not interested. They will take opportunities, and clubs know that, so they can be a bit more reserved with their approach. And also they can get players in now, because a number of players out there, obviously because of the COVID, there's a lot more players being released, and therefore you have clubs will be like, okay, we'll bring him in for training when we resume in pre-season, before they can really take stringent measures to make the correct signing. So I wouldn't worry. There's a number of good players out there. There's more than enough to go around, for sure.
Do you reckon that with a name like Kenny Jackett now in League Two, that's going to help us even further to attract people who want to play for it?
100%. And he's a winner. He's gained promotion many times. He's always there at the business end of the season. And pardon me, good managers like him, they know the sort of characters they need in the dressing room to get the success. He knows the person, he knows the player. He might have targets that he's probably trying to get, and because of his name and the previous people he's worked with, he's probably trying to get them to his club. And if not, he'll know exactly the character he needs, you know, so he can be patient. And I think it's a great addition, great signing, someone who knows the leagues, who's had success, and I think he'd be a really, really good manager for that.
Let's have a look at your career then, down the line. So you made your Orient debut at 17, but before that, at 15, you turned down a move to Spurs. So what made you sort of turn down the move and stay at the O's?
I just think everything happened quite quickly. I mean, I signed for Orient, I think, when I was 12. And at 12, I wasn't into football. I was just rolling with it. I was just going with it. I wasn't a kid who picked up a ball from four, tipping. I was just like, whatever. So when I got picked up at 12 and then would play games and be playing, going down to, I think it was Lee Valley then. And I was like, this is actually quite enjoying this. And so when I turned about 15, I took it seriously. Prior to that, I wasn't. And I think that helped. I think when there's too much pressure and you just want to be a professional, you want to be a football player, it kind of don't happen. I think if you just, like, you keep doing what you need to do, but it's not the be-all, end-all, I think you develop more. So anyway, the coaches around me at the time, I think, was Chris Ramsey and Paul Brash. They were great, and I really got on with them well. All the steps that they had for me, I was doing. And then Tottenham came knocking on the door, and I had a good season in the youth team that year, and I was like, you know. But the thing is, Paul Brash was very close to him at the time. He said, it's a good move for you, son, but I think you'll get into the first team here quicker than you would at Tottenham. I would see us offering you professional contracts a lot sooner than at Tottenham. And ultimately, I was comfortable. I knew everyone. I was liked. I was going well. Maybe I didn't want to lose all that sort of thing. But it was the fact that there was a pathway for me that I could kind of see. And once I heard all that from 15, I really took it seriously. And I'm happy with, I'm just kind of very, very happy with the choice I made.
And in your first full season, you broke into the first team and you ended up playing in the semi-finals and the final of the playoffs. What are your memories of those games?
It was awesome. Honestly, it was awesome. And sometimes when you look back or you have those moments again in your career, that's when you realise how big and special it was. Because at the time, as a youngster, I was like, I remember seeing Scotty Houghton crying. And I was like, it's only a game. At that point, I was youngster. What are you crying for? Big grown man in tears. Like, I didn't kind of get it. Only until when I played in previous, like, similar playoff games later on, I understood how important the game was. At the time, And again, when you're a youth team player, as much as you want to be around the first team, and it's great, when you're in your bubble and you're kind of like one of the better players in that bubble, and it's all fun, to go with the first team was just like, don't pick me. Because sometimes a player will go down or a striker will go down, we'll be training on the pitch to the left. And you see, say, Steve Watts go down, and you'd be like, they're going to call someone over. Jabbo, I'll be like, damn it, I was just about to play a great, fun game with the youth team. You go over to the first team, you're a bit nervous, you're a bit scared, you're young, you're with men. So I never look forward to it. But then I think that's the way it goes. You never, because you come out of your comfort zone, so you're always just like, ooh, don't shout at me, or you lose the ball, you're going to get up here and things like that. So I never kind of enjoyed it initially, but I just went with it. And I remember getting told I'm going to play the last game of the season. And I was like, whoa, okay. And I was a bit like, and then I had Matty Joseph. And again, there were some good professionals around at the time that really guided us through. And I think, I'll just go on air, but I think that's what's changed with modern day football. I know, like, the youngsters now, youth team players, don't do jobs anymore. And I think that's a big shame, because doing the jobs and cleaning the boots, it gives you that relationship with your senior pro. So I cleaned Matty Joseph's boots, and he used to guide me, you know, when you come over, be like this, or, you know, they used to prep you. So when you did get your moment, they kind of look out for you, you know, because they like you, because and you had that relationship, you knew a couple of them, you could high five and this and that. Now the youngsters, unless they get into the first team, you don't know them. So you can walk past them in the training ground, and I think that's that bond's kind of lost, you know. And I think that's what helped me when I got promoted into the first team. I already knew three or four of them because I cleaned their boots, and they look after you and don't do this, do this, do that. Whereas youngsters now, you kind of like, you let them drown if they have to drown. You're not going to kind of be there unless you're a nice guy. So anyway, when I was told I was going to play, and it was like, I think we had to win that game to kind of guarantee the playoffs. I was a bit like, woo, okay, cool. And I remember being on the bus and going up to Macclesfield and had Steve Watts going, yeah, you'll be all right. You're going to do this. You're going to do it. You're going to ace it. And he couldn't have started any better. I think I scored quite early and I didn't know how to celebrate. So I was just a bit like head over the shirt over my head, just like, oh, well, I think I've scored a goal. Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing, but it was the best feeling. I was in hysteria. And then it just kind of all the momentum. I just went with the momentum of it all. Before I knew it, I think it was we won. I think Lockie scored a penalty. I think in the playoffs, the semi-finals against Hull. Next minute, we're in the playoff finals, and I thought I might just get edged out here because of my inexperience. I got to start. It's unreal. Again, we got off to a great start in that game. I think 9 seconds or something like that, Tate, you scored. I thought, oh, cool here. And it all just happened so quickly. I went with it. I enjoyed the moment. You know, I hit the post and I was gutted, thinking, why? That would have made a big difference. But yeah, it was a fantastic experience. Only later on in life, I realised how big a moment it really was. At the time, it was just like, oh yeah, I played. Yeah. And I think my attitude then was kind of keep my feet on the ground so I keep progressing. I think if I got caught up in all that, I'm 18, playoffs, in the first team, blah, 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 you kind of lose your focus. I try to just keep it cool and calm. And then, but I've definitely enjoyed those moments later on. Though. But it was fantastic, really, really good.
Do you think it helped because you... Oh, sorry, Jamie, I'll come across you in just a second. Do you think it helped that you... Because you'd played at the Millennium Stadium before, hadn't you, for the youth team? So do you think it helped in a way that you'd already done that so you didn't freeze on the big stage in a way?
Yeah, I think it was... Again, it was like... It was, I think about a week or so before the big game that we played in the Youth Alliance Cup final. And I think it definitely helped. It was definitely familiarity. You know, I'm there... I've smelled this entrance before. I've been on this grass before. So it definitely helped. But then it was the crowd, though. I don't think I've ever played in front of a big crowd like that. It might have been like 39,000, 40,000. So it was just like, wow. But once you're focused, and I used to always go out, close my eyes, kind of do a little meditation before I played. And then I was in the zone, man. I just loved it. You forget about the noise. You forget about the crowd. But I think it definitely helped me more that I played there a week before, you know, definitely settled the nerves a bit more for sure. But once you're out there, there's no nerves. You're there, you've earned it. Go and enjoy it now. Never nervous like that sort of thing.
Jamie, coming across to you.
Yeah, I was just going to ask Jabbo, did he actually surprise himself how well he played in those like playoff games and the playoff final at that young age?
Yeah, I mean, I knew I was coming off the back of a good season in the youth team, so I was confident. Fair much scored about 19 goals that season, and as a whole youth team bunch, we had a good season as a youth team collective, so we're all full of confidence. What I was surprised at was, like, you know, I thought it'd be physically harder. I thought, you know, well, I'm going into this game, I'm going to get knocked off, I'm going to do this, and it's surprisingly, it was all right. I was like, oh, they're not as quick or as strong as I thought they were going to be. And I think your young enthusiasm, the adrenaline gets you through. And you kind of got nothing to lose. You know, there's no pressure. You know, go and enjoy yourself. I think you have a lot of that when you're a young player. You're carefree. You know, you don't think of this, don't think of that. It's just all to gain. So I think that definitely helped. And that positive mindset really. And I think you just keep that momentum. Because from the first game at Macclesfield, you score 2 goals, you're on top of the world. You go and play the next game, you just keep going, and I think that sort of put me in good stead.
Talking about momentum and positive mindset and things, I see that over the next couple of seasons, you really struggled with injuries, and so everything became a bit stop-start for you. Difficult period. Did you have times where you struggled to maintain that positive attitude, or was it just get on?
I think ultimately those periods made me have a career. I think if I didn't have, you know, if I carried on and there was interest from various clubs at the time, some big clubs and some significant figures were getting thrown around before the injuries. But then could I have curtailed because I got too, like, gassed by all that? You know, would I be a different person now? Probably. I think having those injuries, having those setbacks, ultimately, to be a professional at whatever you do, it's hard work. It's about the hard times to be a professional. It ain't about necessarily the good times. We can all have good times. It's all sweet. being good at something and coming through it is when you can do it through the difficult times, because everyone can do something when it's good. Can you turn it around when it's not happening for you? And it, my groins were just giving me so many problems. I'll play, then have trouble, and then have to be off for this amount of times. But the rehab I had to do, and the sort of like keeping that energy, keeping yourself uplifted, you learnt those skills, because throughout football, it is like that. There's going to be moments when you're not scoring or you're not playing. What are you going to do? So those experiences kept me in good stead for the future. And I think if I didn't have those, would I have played for as long as I played? Because you've got to be resilient doing all that. And I think I learned good resilience, good values through those experiences. So it set me up for now sort of thing as well. So it happened. You know, things might have been different in a certain way, but I'm happy the way it also turned out, you know?
And then obviously we come to the 2005 promotion season. You know, talk us through your memories of that particular season. Obviously, we did the promotion special a few weeks ago, but what are your really special memories from that?
I mean, again, you often find a good dressing room contributes to a good season, and the more dressing rooms you are in, you soon realise that what sort of season you're going to have just by the personalities and the people in there. We had great abundance of depth in each position, striker-wise, midfield. Lockie held down the left-back role. He was wonderful. He had Billy Jones trying to sneak in there. But we had a good team, a good squad, a good team. We always used to go out, Christmas do's. Everyone was together. Not many people missed it. So I remember being in that season, everyone was chipping in with goals. And it was a positive. Martin Ling was really good. He was funny. And again, we had momentum, which is massively important. And then it just came down to that last day. And then you have in those seasons, you have special moments. We had the FA Cup game, didn't we? You know, we had a good run. We got a great result against Fulham. And it's all buzzing. And I had a similar time when I was, fast forward now, like to Carlisle, had a great cup run. Then we get into the playoffs. It all goes hand in hand. So when we had that season, off the back of great energy, and I thought we curtailed a bit after the cup run, like you always do, you get all caught up in it. So we had to get our league form back. Once we started doing that, it came down to that last game, and it was just awesome. I think, like, I remember thinking Stevie was going to pass me the ball because I was, like, I kind of would have been clear for a tap-in, but I'm quite happy he did it just in case. So, once he put it in, it was just, and the final whistle blew. I remember I got all the pictures from that game, and I think I put the scarf around my head, like, yeah, really feeling it. And there was a lot of us youth team players that got promoted into the, in and around the first team as well. So it was nice to share it with them. And also Lingy was our youth team manager, who's become the first team manager also. It was just a great feeling. And I think whenever you come through your home club as a kid, it's just that much more special than anywhere else when you've got promotions and stuff like that, you know, because you've got that real, solidarity there. You've come from the bottom and you've gone in there and you've really grinded it out. And you get the promotion, but it's just different class then. Different class.
You had an affinity with the team, didn't you, Jabbo? That was the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think there's genuine affection. You know, sometimes when you kind of... And luckily for me as well, when I've been at certain clubs, I've really felt the club. I've really enjoyed everyone. And I think that epitomises your performances as well. You know, you feel it for the fans, you feel it for everyone. So it gives you that extra percent in your game. And then to do it, it was just special. It was just a great moment. And it showed because we're all still in a group together on WhatsApp. So many years on, and not often that in football, you move to teams, you stay in contact. But a lot of us are in this WhatsApp group. We call it the 06 or whatever promotion thing. And it's still banter every so often in there, you know? And that's so many years past and we're still there. So it just shows the power of our collective as well. You know, it's really genuine.
Yeah, so I just thought that your partnership with Gary Alexander first came about at the Barnet away game, more or less like a great platform for that run right the way through to the end of the season. I thought your goals from that partnership, you know, really set us on our way.
Yeah, it really did. And like I said, I had Gary and had Steely around again, good professionals, good, you know, they knew the game, they knew how to score goals, and I had good people to learn from, you know. And at the same time, we're all kind of competitive. You know, Gary really wanted to score goals. He's a goal machine. He wants goals. So I learned how to be a bit more of a selfish striker through playing with him as well. You know what I mean? He'll if it's going in, he'll still try and nick it on the touchline. He was that sort of guy. But, you know, it galvanised us all to get those goals and get those important results to clinch the promotion on the line. So, it was fantastic playing with them. You know, I learned a lot.
And obviously, as part of that team, you know, Gabby Zakawani came through our youth team as well. Did you help him at all as he came through, or did he help you? Was it, you know, obviously you were someone who broke into the first team a couple of years earlier. Did you sort of act as a bit of a mentor to him? Or?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, like, I mean, when you come through a good youth team, like Orient youth team was a very good one. I remember you look up to certain players within the youth team that make the step up to the first team, and you go, I want to be him. And my idol was Danny Brown, who played some games, but he was unbelievable. Honestly, when I went in the Orient 15 and I started going around with the youth team, I used to watch Danny Brown and think, he's the man, I want to be him. So when he got into the first team, I would sort of mirror myself and watch what he does. So I think they set the pathway for you. If you want to, you know, get there, you ask them the questions. And I think Gabby was the same. You know, you get into the first team as a youngster, make some noise. Someone else wants to be that person. You know, it helps encourage that. So me and Gabby was traveling together. We were quite close. And I would sort of like, he'll ask me, how does it feel? What did you do? How did you set your nerves? What did you, you know, because you're all boys. So you can have that sort of honest conversation. Sometimes with older players, you might not be able to transcend that conversation with them. They're not on the same wavelength. So I think it definitely helped him. We definitely helped each other because we were quite sort of, we spoke on that level. And you know, that's what you want to see, and that's what you kind of get from having a good close youth team. So I've definitely, our relationship definitely helped his progression for sure. You know, and he stepped on my, he used to elbow me for fun in training and step on my toes. So, you know, he owed me one for sure. He owed me one.
So you were at the Orient for over 10 years, eight as a professional. You made 243 appearances, scoring 41 goals. Of the 243 appearances, nearly half of them were as a substitute, though. How did it feel when you were told you weren't, your contract wasn't being renewed? Were you upset, or were you ready at that point to make a move and cement more of a first team place as a regular starter?
I think as any player, when you've served the club for a while and you have that good respect and relationship with the managers and the people around, I think you can have honest conversations. And obviously, I've worked with Martin Ling previously in the youth team, so I've known him very well. And I think at that point, with my injuries and, you know, never getting like a, being able to sustain a good long spell with period to really show my stuff, it came to a point where I could have stayed on and signed another contract, if I'm honest. You know, I had a good conversation with Martin Ling, it was there. But we both felt that the best thing for me at that time is to have a fresh start, have a clear way from injuries, you know, become a man. Because sometimes when you come through as a player from the youth team, you're still seen as a youngster. Even though you get older, you're still seen as, you don't get that sort of respect, like as a first team player. Someone maybe has to be dropped or someone needs to be told off. It's probably you, because they're very familiar with you. They won't shout the senior player they've just brought in. So we had a conversation, but I'd love to keep you. I will keep you if you want to stay, but we both know that a fresh start, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. And I think it was the right thing to do at the time. It was tough in a sense, like I loved it there and I really enjoyed it and I wanted to sort of keep getting promotions and grow higher. But at the same time, I was ready to go and become a man, you know, and earn my stripes, you know. But I always kept an eye on Orient. I would always sometimes, from over in the area, I'll just make sure I take that route past the stadium and have a look. So I've always, no matter if I've gone away, I'm always still about, if you get what I mean. you know, so it was fun. And I did come back a few times as well, so to watch games or play. You know, and I often enjoyed playing as well. Coming back with the team, it was good fun.
Well, I was going to say, you've actually got quite a decent goal scoring record against the O's. I mean, you've scored a few goals against us over the years.
Yeah, to be fair, I've often, after the first game, I think I went to Warsaw, and I think we played Orient at Warsaw, and I never, that was the first time I experienced playing against a previous team. It was awful. It was awful. And people will say, oh, I can't wait, I'm going to show them. I pretty much knew everyone. Was it because they weren't like that big turnaround where half the players have gone? I pretty much knew everyone. I was playing against Chambers, Alton. I was like, and I couldn't just be myself. I didn't want to hit Alton as hard as I would hit someone else, or do even want to kind of score, because I didn't want to celebrate, you know? So it felt weird. But after the first time I experienced that, after that, bring it on, man. Let's play. So then I look forward to the game. I look forward to being able to see friends in the stands and familiar faces. And that's the great thing about clubs like Orient, you know? There's a guy called Errol, Earl, who was one of the stewards. There was Steve Rigby's dad. And they'll still be there, you know? And you go, hey! And you come at 3 years. They're still part of the club. And I really love that. I really, really like that. You know, you come back and five years on, you see some great familiar faces. I think Dave Cook was another guy I always used to look out for loads, man. It was different gravy, man. Different gravy.
And what was the reception like from the fans that you got? Did you feel you got a fair reception? Did they? I mean, I remember us singing Jabbo, Jabbo, even when you were playing for the other team. So how did that make you feel?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I've been fortunate for whatever reason. I seem to get a decent reception from previous clubs. But then sometimes it becomes a bit of a pantomime, which I kind of laugh at as well. It's football, you know. Let's not take it too seriously. There'll be times I'll have a shot. Way! And it'll go wide. Jab on. I'll be like, come on, do one sort of thing. So there was a bit of that, but it was a bit of tongue-in-cheek. But ultimately, there was respect there, and it was fun, and I got like, I always got like a good reception. And overwhelming at times, even, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think when you come through a place and you're one of their own through the youth team, and you kind of tried your best and stuff, I think you kind of get that.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because one thing that always stood out to us as fans, Jabbo, was you seemed to be the kind of guy that played with a smile on his face. And there were times when I wondered whether you took the game seriously enough because of it. And I mean that with the greatest respect. Yeah. I liked you more for it than I disliked you for it, if that made sense.
Yeah,
you
know,
you did try. You did run your heart out. So it was obvious you did care, and you were professional. But you did. You played with a smile on your face. And we seem to lack a bit of that now, guys, don't we? I don't know if you agree with that, Jabbo, and that's something you see in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely, like I said, the whole football's fun. It's a game. It's football. Ultimately, that's what it is. And I think you do your best things when whatever it is in life. When you're prepared, you can be prepared, but you can be happy. You don't have to be prepared to be angry. Your face don't have to change. Like, if you do the work, I know I've worked hard. I know I've done all the shooting I need to do, the stretching, the training, the running. I'm ready. So I don't need to go into a game. You know, I can be relaxed in myself. And I think you do your best stuff, especially when you've got a bit of skills and stuff. You can't, so you've got to relax, you've got to enjoy it, you've got to feel the moment. I think today there's too much sometimes, you know, you've got to go do this, you've got to do that. And expressive players, creative players or goal scorers, you need to be your own person. You're different to sort of other players that might have to just be worked up to head the ball and whatever. You have to be your own person. And that's what I ultimately, wherever I went, I was me, regardless. But I always give 100% off and on the pitch. And no one can ever tell me otherwise. And again, you don't go on to play as long as I had if you didn't. If you didn't put the work in, you don't get 20 years in the game. You know, it's as simple as that. So, but I think you do things with a smile on your face, it lasts longer and it feels better, for sure.
You know? What would you say your favourite Orient memory was, Jabbo?
Oh, I mean, there's lots. I mean, when I made my debut, I think, even the moment I was told, and then I remember going back into the youth team dressing room and it's getting mobbed and getting like patted on the head, but like, you know, that was a good moment because we've had a great season. All the boys were kind of close to the squad. We've done well. And, you know, we all shared that together. I really enjoyed that moment. Obviously, scoring those two goals and just being in the dressing room after was like, did that really just happen? Wow. Then going back and being the bigger and around with my mates. The promotion was wonderful. And even like I said, I learned a lot. There was times when people, there was like transfers that came in a couple of times around January. And those moments when you have to make decisions or like, you know, I've never experienced those things before at the time. So all I've learned a lot in my Orient career that set me up for the future. So there's many good or bad, there's been many sort of like lessons that I think if I didn't have them, would I have been the person I was today, like in my career. So I think I owe a lot for that period of my time. But many, many good memories there.
What's your funniest Orient memory? And now remember, we are on radio, so don't get me fired. So what would you say is your funniest Orient memory?
I mean, there's been lots, and especially with that 2006 squad, Lockie, Gary and John Mackey were always on our case, especially for fines. There's been a couple of nights out, but I can't really disclose too much. But can I say? I mean, it's definitely with that squad. The trip to Vegas was class. But what happens in Vegas kind of stays in Vegas. So, but I say the funniest moments was around that squad. Let's just say that.
Well, I'd say we'll do an Orient Hour extra. That's an 18 plus or something. And you can give us a few more details.
That's cool.
We'll all be asleep when it goes out, Billy. We're all old men now. If that goes out and goes to the watershed. Debo, can I ask, you remember we played the Arsenal in the Cup? And I read earlier that you're an Arsenal fan. Was that, that would have been a game you'd have loved to have played in, surely, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. It was unreal. I remember watching it and stuff in... been a bit gutted, to be fair, but I mean, yeah, those are the games, especially when you like both teams, you know what I mean. But to play against Arsenal, I played against a few clubs, never quite got to play against Arsenal in a cup match, maybe in a pre-season friendly, but never in like a big cup stage. But yeah, what a fixture. And when you play against your boyhood team, it's different gear, man. It's what you want to do as a professional, definitely. So I was a bit gutted, to be fair.
Sorry, I brought that up.
Well, let's talk about your career, the rest of your career, then, as you when you left the Orient. Then, so you left the Orient and you signed for Walsall. You only had one season at Walsall, but you had your best goal return of your career so far with 11 goals. So, at that point, did you think that obviously moving away from the Orient did it improve you as a player?
I think so. I think you have to grow up. I think. Like I said, when you're in and around your comfort zone, you kind of go on autopilot. And I think I had to then sort of like, okay, I need to go find the club. There's a couple of clubs interested. I didn't at the time really want to move out of London, but again, it's comfortable, isn't it? So I said, you know what, cool. I go up there, so I bought a house. I didn't know how to pay bills, didn't know how to do anything like that. But you learn. Again, I'm on my own. My girlfriend came up with me, like, because she was in uni in London. So it was a lot of the time up there on my own. But, okay, what's this? What's that? But you learn. And that learning helped me with my football as well. I had to learn to sort of, like, meet new people, be in a new area on my own, make my own little community. And I grew up very quickly. I think that definitely made me a lot more focused on my football. All I kind of had up there at that point was the football. We had a great team. They assembled a great squad that season. I think we just missed out on the playoffs that year, but we weren't expected to be nowhere near that close to it. And we really battered teams. I think I scored like 11 league goals. I think I finished on 15 goals. I think there was some cup goals in there. And my game really developed. I began to understand how to play a good game. I knew how to, like, you know, as before, there'd be days when, especially the young kid, you might eat I don't know, Nando's on a Friday, play on a Saturday and expect to run around, and you'd be like, oh man, why did I eat that? Or another time you have pasta and you play well. So you're kind of figuring yourself out. And I think at Walsall, I managed to figure myself out what I needed to do to play a good game. And then I became very consistent like that. I began to understand what it took to be a good centre forward in that league. What I needed to do, I had Michael Ricketts with me as my partner. And obviously he played for England and he was like a strong player. So I used to ask him a lot of questions and do a lot of work with him. And I think I improved so much, I really did. And then I was very confident to go anywhere else from there. And after a good season there, I had sort of many suitors in that league and a couple above. And, you know, it was a great year. And I think it done me the world of good. I think every now and again, you need to come out of your comfort zone. That's when you live. That's when you achieve, you know. And I found that there, leaving. Sort of thing.
I mean, I remember we went to Walsall away, me and my old man at the time, and I remember being in their supporters club, and we were chatting to some of their fans about you, and they were saying to us, we can't believe you've let him go, he's a £1 million player, you know. Like, I don't think they realised he was probably only on a 1 year deal, but they were talking about you was going to be a £1 million player, they was going to sell you for £1 million, you was, you know. He then went on to play for MK Dons after a year. Was it strange, the fact that you'd been at the Orient for over a decade and then within two seasons you'd gone to two different clubs? What made you make that decision?
That's like welcome to football, isn't it? I mean, it's like you stay at one place and all of a sudden, bam, bam, here, then everywhere. But I think only for me, I had to go. I think I had to sort of like become a man, which I felt I did. I learned how to cook, I learned how to pay bills, I learned a lot. And then on the pitch, I think I learned how to be a good centre forward and what it took and the hard work. So after that season, obviously I'm a London boy, and I kind of wanted to come back down south, but didn't want to go right home, but I wanted to be closer to my family, that if I wanted to drop to my house in London, I could, and things like that. I had a couple of clubs again. Looking back, I might say if I had the head I have now, I probably would have gone up north. I had Huddersfield, I think they were going to the champ at that time, but I kind of half wanted to just be southern. Again, I think you're better when you just go, you know what, F it, I'm going to put myself out there and go with it. But you learn through experiences. So I went back to MK. I went to MK Dons. They were doing well in League One at the time. They were ripping it most seasons, and they just had a new stadium. I went on a tour and everything. I was like, "Wow, this is cool!" And they're just in the playoff finals to get promoted. So I thought, "Cool, if they go up, I'm a Championship player." So that was my thinking about it. I signed a good deal. Probably one of the biggest deals of my career. It was great, and yeah, it just fit for me. A great place, great city, and I love. And again, I learned again. Had a great coach in John Gorman, unbelievable guy. One of my best coaches I've ever had, and went on another level again. Yeah, really good, really, really good.
Did you play for Roberto Di Matteo, didn't you, as well? He was the one who signed you.
But it was interesting because so basically my last game for Warsaw was against MK Dons away, and MK Dons had to win to guarantee, I think, the playoffs, whatever. I think I scored the goal against them that kind of stopped that. No, it guaranteed automatic promotion. They're already in the playoffs, and I think they had to win that to get it. And I think I scored the goal that kept them in the playoffs. Had I known at the time, I probably would have booted it wide or something. But I've then got injured in that game. So that was the last game I played for Warsaw. So when I signed for MK Dons, I was injured. And so then I went there injured, and Di Matteo just then left to go West Brom. So I was a bit like, oops, why couldn't this have been 3 weeks later? I might have gone with him. So, and he kind of said that to me as well. So I would have took you, obviously, because I've taken you to go to the Championships, I would have took you. So I was like, such is life. But then it was a difficult first year because I just signed, but I was injured. and I was going to be injured for a while because I had a bad hamstring injury. But then they brought in Quince. So when you have your pre-season, it's a time that you get to know your players, you get to bond with the team, etc. And I missed all that because I was just on my own. So I never got to know the manager never got to know me, and I wasn't one of his signings. And him being the way he was, the governor, you know, he had a special way about him, let's just say that. So we didn't kind of get on, and it was a bit frosty. So when I did sort of resume training, you know, I just felt a bit like an outcast, you know. I wasn't his guy. He didn't kind of make me welcome. My football at the time, I wasn't as confident because I'm coming off the back of injury, I'm off the pace. So I was kind of useless in training anyway, to be fair. I look forward to running, then I did look wanting to play the football. That's where I was. So I had to go out and get my fitness and get some games and my confidence under my belt. So I went out on loan to Stockport, which was again fantastic. You learn so much. You know, I had to go. I wasn't playing at MK Dons. I knew if I go on loan to Stockport, I need to go and show them what they're missing. You know, I need to show them, I need to show it for myself, and to go back and show them I'm a good player here. So I went to Stockport. Although we were struggling, as they were struggling as a team, great fan base. The people that were there were so brilliant and loved the club. And I excelled in a team that weren't doing great. You know, I really done well. And that was my attitude. It weren't like, let me go and whatever. I went there, cool. I'll show you how good I am. I'll show you why you signed me. I scored a few goals, not as much as I would have liked to, but my performances were there, really high. Came back to MK Dons the following year, did the pre-season, really strong. I think Paul Wintz got sacked within that time as well, and Carl Robertson took over. But again, he was Paul Wintz's coach, so he wasn't really like favouring you sort of thing a little bit. But the pre-season I had and the way I played, you had to keep me in the side, you had to keep me around, and then I started to play at MK Dons, you know. But again,
you got five goals, Jabbo.
Was
you
that?
Got five goals. You got five goals whilst on loan there.
Yeah.
It was pretty good and return.
It wasn't bad. I should have scored a few more. I should have scored at least. I missed a couple that probably would have got me to 10. But my the way I performed was very good. Like it was tops. So I come back showing, thinking, yeah, that's what I'm about. Came back with so much confidence, and then the following season I nailed it. Then I began to sort of play and enjoy my times at MK Dons. But again, you test yourself through the bad, like, they're never bad times, but they're testing times, you know? And I think that's the model of a man, you know, especially to be a professional. You got to come through those periods.
Did you ever regret leaving Walsall at all? Or was it just, you know, it was the right decision and it was just unlucky the way it happened?
I think I signed the year. I think they probably didn't know what they were going to get, probably, if they're honest. So, you know, they're probably thinking, well, young kid, you know, he's leaving Orient. We like him. He's got good tools. If he gets all together, we've got a player, you know. I did get it all together, but only signed a year, you know, and I can leave on a free, happy, like, you know, as a football player, it's better to almost leave as a free because clubs don't have to pay the fee they would have to, so your wages, you get paid more ultimately. So for players, it's good to be a free agent if you have a good season. We had a good team, and that's why I enjoyed it there, and we would compete, but a number of us played well that year and a number of us got moves off the back of that season. So had I stayed, I don't think we would have been as strong. So I think it was the right decision to go because I didn't want to be in a difficult season the following year and I had all these opportunities. And I think maybe if my partner was still up in Birmingham and I weren't so much on my own, I might have maybe stayed, but I knew a lot of good players were going. It was, and you're going to a team that's potentially going to go to the championship, you're kind of going to go. So I don't regret that. I think I learned a lot. They gave me a lot. I was very grateful for my time there, you know.
So So towards the end of your time at MK Dons, you had a successful loan at Colchester.
Yeah.
And so what sort of made you go to Colchester? Was there a selection of clubs that came in for you on loan at that point, or was it?
Yeah, again, I often, like I said, once I was back south, I kind of adamantly wanted to stay in and around south at that point. Colchester, I kind of fell out with a little bit with, I might have got an injury again at MK Dons, and I wasn't kind of playing as much as I probably would have liked to. And then, I played in that league, people knew who I was. There was a number of teams, but again, I kind of wanted to stay south. Had a good conversation with the assistant manager, Joe Dunn, fantastic guy. And it was an easy decision. They've got a great setup. The training ground was fantastic. I mean, it's the facilities they've got for a League One club at that time was frightening. So it was an easy sell. Great, really nice stadium. Again, a great dressing room. And when I went there, again, they weren't going so well. But when I went there, we kind of survived. I think they were near the bottom, kind of took them out of that. And I played, again, some good football. It revitalised me, and I was fit again, you know. So when the opportunity came to kind of sign permanently, it was great, really good.
Listen, thank you ever so much for your time tonight. I really, really appreciate it.
No problem.
For those people that are listening live on the radio, the interview has gone on for over an hour. So what we're going to do is we'll make it into an Orient Hour special as well, so that you can hear the whole interview. Obviously, on the radio, you've only heard part of it, but the rest of the interview will be available as an Orient Hour extra. Jabbo, thank you ever so much for your time tonight. I really, really appreciate it.
Jabbo.
That's it, fantastic. Thanks for having me on, guys. Really enjoyed the conversation.
You take care. And listen, if you're doing any more charity events, please let us know, because, as I say, we'll promote them through the Orient Hour. We know, you know, the Orient are involved with Mind the Charity, so it's a fantastic organisation. So
Jabbo, if you could let everyone know about the Just Giving page for Paul, anyone you know in the game, be really grateful as well to help Paul and his family.
Yeah. You send me the link, I'll put it on my...
We'll get it sent to you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks very much.
Lovely, thank you. Take care, Jabbo. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Darren, Jamie, thank you so much for tonight as well. I hope you all enjoyed listening, everybody. And we'll see you all next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane, that's the wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. There's flats in every corner of the ground, you can get your kids in just £5, get an Orient here, it's only a quid, get a cup of tea. It's an Upton Park, Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane, that's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you go, we're rocking all over the world again. We had an FA Cup 78, we had John Sitter, he's most irate, we were club. Shirtley and Chris Tate's hair. I remember the moment that Lee Spill scored. I remember it's done on the message board. I remember the pleasure, I remember the pain, and I wanna hear rocking all over the world again. It's St. Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane, that's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over.